Today, we're looking at Exodus chapter 32, and the lesson is on rebellion against the Lord. In the New Testament, you remember what we've been saying over the last couple of weeks, the law was not given as a ladder by which we could earn God's salvation. All right. The law was given as kind of like a thermometer to show how sick we were. The purpose of the law is to bring us in repentance to the feet of Jesus. You know, that thermometer is not going to heal you. It is only going to show you how sick you are. And then it gets you to the feet of the physician who can heal you. Okay, now don't miss that, because you cannot earn your salvation by good works. Okay, Christ earned our salvation on the cross, and we believe in Him, and His obedience is transferred to us, and we're saved. Now, that's not to say good works are not important. Good works are important as a proof of salvation, but they're useless as a ground of salvation, because that's like saying Christ died for nothing. Okay? Paul explains that very well in the book of Galatians. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus is actually making it hard to say, oh, what a good boy am I. He said, well, you've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I'm saying to you, see, Jesus is showing how He came to fulfill the law. The Pharisees would have said, unless you had committed the physical act of adultery with someone, you were clean. Jesus said, if you look to someone to lust after them or to make them lust after you, you've already committed adultery. Okay, now, this is where it gets hard, people, because In the New Testament, it says rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. It says gossiping about somebody, running down their reputation, is equivalent to murder. It says lusting after somebody is equivalent to adultery. And you say, whoa, you know, you mean we're... God takes it seriously. And you say, well, how can I be saved? Well, that's the reason the law was given, to bring you to that point. You know, like Peter said to Jesus, depart from me, O Lord, for I'm a sinful man. Or the guy who said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. They're just being honest, all right? The truth is, we don't just need Christ to save us, we need Christ to sanctify us. We're saved by grace through faith, but we also are sanctified by grace through faith. Okay? As you have received Christ Jesus, so walk in Him. We got a lot of people who they are saved by grace through faith, and then they're trying to grow through keeping good works. You need Christ's grace in your good works just as much as you do to get saved to begin with, all right? Now, you look back at the children of Israel and you see they've seen all those miracles. They've seen all those plagues of Egypt. They've seen God deliver them. They've seen God give them water in the wilderness, water from the rock. And then how could they worship the golden calf? Well, don't be too hard on them. They don't have the Holy Spirit. The disciples did the same thing. They'd seen all of Jesus' miracles, and then when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, they all forsook Him and fled. See? But we do have the Holy Spirit telling us this is the way. Walk in it. All right? So don't be too hard on these people. And yet, God is showing us, see, the Bible is very accurate when it talks about divine nature, But it's also very accurate when it talks about human nature. Even the leaders of Israel have feet of clay. You know, Abraham, Lot, Noah, David. Okay, they all have feet of clay. We really do need the grace of God. Okay, so we start out how we rebel. Point one. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us." We want something that we can see that will go before us and we can follow it. Okay? It says, "For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him." Aaron said to them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives," golden earrings, "your sons." The sons are wearing golden earrings. You think this is something new? He said, "And your daughters," okay, where do they get those golden earrings?
Egypt.
Egypt, yeah. "And bring them to me." All right, so here's Aaron. He says, "Let's have a bunch of earrings. Let's have some golden earrings." So they're bringing them all the stuff they got from Egypt to Aaron. And it says, "So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf." He made a golden statue of a calf. Now, an ox symbolizes what? Work, strength, fertility. Okay, if you're speaking symbolically, you can say, okay, well, this represents Jehovah. The problem with this is, God said, "Don't make any images to me." I did some study on the Cherokees, and we went to the Cherokee Museum up in North Carolina, and an interesting thing about the Cherokee, I don't know where in the world this comes from, but they believed that there was a great spirit, but the great spirit did not like to be represented. And so they did not depict the great spirit in any of their artwork or anything because he didn't want that. Now, where in the world are they getting that? I think it might be coming from the old Noahic religion. Okay. Another interesting thing with them is they had seven clans of the Cherokee. Seven was a sacred number to the Cherokee. And you were not allowed to marry anybody from your father's clan or from your mother's clan. Now that's an interesting thing. What did Moses say? Who were you not supposed to marry? You were not supposed to marry your brothers and your sisters? Well, I don't know where they're getting that. Seven is, I do not know. But it makes me wonder if maybe some of Noah's religion did get passed down through tradition. I don't know. But God does not want to be depicted. Okay? The first commandment is have no other gods before me. The second commandment is don't make any graven images of me. All right? God doesn't like it. Well, that's exactly what they're doing here. They're breaking the commandments, all right? He, Aaron, received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." People. That isn't the God that brought them out of the... It's a chunk of gold. Okay? So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar in front of it And he made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to YHWH. They're going to have a festival in commemoration of Jehovah who brought them up, and this represents him. All right? Then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings. So they're bringing sacrifices to the calf. Okay? So this is idolatry. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. All right? Their energy is being misdirected. All right? And it says, the Lord said to Moses, YHWH, said to Moses, go, get down, for your people whom you've brought out of the land. What does he not call the people? He doesn't say my people. Moses, your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshiped it and sacrificed to it and said, these are your gods, O Israel. See, the Egyptians would have a statue of a god, but behind it they would have a frieze of the pantheon. So they would depict all the gods of Egypt. They're copying the Egyptians here. And these are your gods, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people. Indeed, it is a stubborn people. Now, God's going to say something to Moses here that sounds like he's just making it up as he goes along. God already knows, and he's saying something to Moses, but he's drawing some faith out of Moses here. He says, now therefore, God says, leave me alone that my wrath may burn hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. Okay, Moses, I'm just going to destroy those people, and I'm going to make of you a great nation. Now, if Moses had been stuck on himself, he would have said, okay, let's do it. Moses, well, God knows his heart. Moses is going to intercede for the people. He can't, because he's a sinner too, but he's going to try. You know, like Paul said, I would wish myself to be damned that my people, the Jews, could be saved. Okay? Now, Paul can't die for the Jewish people, but Christ can. Moses can't die for the Israelites, but Christ can. Okay? They need an intercessor. They need an intermediary. All right? So, the Lord said, I've seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people, stubborn people. Now therefore, leave me alone that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, to consume them from the face of the earth. Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, Jacob, your servants, whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I've spoken of will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. He's just reminding God, as if God needs to be reminded, of the everlasting covenant. And so the Lord had compassion. The word nacham is in the Nephal. God didn't repent. He didn't do anything to repent of, but he had deep compassion for them. And what God's doing is he's bringing this out of Moses. Moses sees the problem. And he is willing. He is concerned for God's reputation. You know when Jesus prays the Lord's Prayer, he says, Our Father in heaven, may your name be reverenced. He said, pray like this. Jesus' first part of the Lord's Prayer is a plea for God's reputation. How many of us have ever prayed and the first thing we say is not the big I want you to do this today, but may your reputation be revered. See, Jesus said we need to pray like that. He says, so the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to the people, his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mountain, and the two tablets of the testimony, the Ten Commandments, were in his hand. The tablets were written on both sides, on one side and on the other they were written. Now the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there's a noise of war in the camp. But he said, it is not the noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the cry of defeat, but it's the sound of singing that I hear. So it was, as soon as he came near the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot. It burned. And he cast the tablets out of his hand and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Then he took the calf which they had made, burned it in the fire, and ground it up into powder, and he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. Well, that shows you how much Moses thought about their false god. And Moses said to Aaron, what did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them? He's blaming Aaron. So Aaron said, do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people that they're set on evil. Moses blaming Aaron. Who's Aaron blaming? The people. He's blaming everybody else. Who's really responsible here? All of the above. For they said to me, this is Aaron, make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Verse 23. Well, that's true. He's telling the truth here. And I said to them, whoever has any gold, let him break it off. Is that true? Yeah. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and this calf came out. Okay. Is that true? You can't even read it without laughing. You know, Moses is not laughing. Who made the calf? Okay. He carved it and everything. He fashioned it. You know, that. Well, this ear's not long enough. And so Moses has mixed it with their water and everybody's drunk it. So guess what's going to happen to the golden calf? Okay. Now, this is a serious problem on Aaron's part, because he didn't just, there wasn't a miracle, a calf producing miracle in the fire. He is lying. Now, when Moses saw that the people were out of control because Aaron had not restrained them to their shame among their enemies, remember, we've got all these other people who are watching, then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And all the sons of Levi, these are the Levites, the singers, gathered themselves together to him. Now, the next passage here is one of the ones that Sunday school materials usually leave out, because it's kind of hard to deal with. But that's what it says, and if I'm going to be teaching the Word of God, I'm going to teach it all. I'm not just going to jump from happy verse to happy verse. It says, all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him, and he said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put on his sword and go in and out from the entrance to entrance throughout the camp, and let every man kill his brother, his companion, and his neighbor. So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Those Levites went through the camp and basically took out the chief offenders. It was a terrible rebellion. Now, I'm not going to say go thou and do likewise, but you see how seriously the Lord takes this stuff. Okay? And Moses... No. There might. He's not mentioned in the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And God let him go along because he was going to speak for Moses. Okay? You know, I just threw the gold in the fire and this calf jumped out. Yeah. Yeah, he's corrupt too, and all, he falls in the wilderness too. Everybody does except Joshua and Caleb, and that's what the word says about him. They're all afraid now. Okay, they're afraid to rebel against God now. All right. Then Moses said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord. He says that he may bestow on you a blessing this day, for every man has opposed his son and his brother. Number two, we talked about how we rebel and now when we rebel. Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, you have committed a great sin. So now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. Moses is still wanting to atone and bring reconciliation. Now, what's wrong with that? Moses is a sinner, and he's going to die for his own sins, all right? But they need somebody who is without sin, Jesus. They need somebody who can make atonement for the people. Okay? We all need that. Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold, as if God doesn't know this. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, and he breaks it off, but if not, I pray, blot me out of the book, out of your book which you have written. Okay? Moses is willing to be damned if the people could only be saved. Okay? And you can kind of commend him for that, but he can't die for the sins of the people. He's got to die for his own sin. He cannot be the sacrifice for those people. He wants to be. And the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Okay? That's what would happen to us if Jesus had not interceded for us. Okay? The blood of Jesus will either blot out your sins or it will blot out your name. And that's why you need to receive the Lord's grace while he may be found. Okay? And so, now therefore, God says, lead the people to the place of which I have spoken to you. Behold, my angel will go before you. That's the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. My angel will go before you. Nevertheless, in the days when I visit for punishment, I will visit punishment upon them for their sin. Most of those people would fall in the wilderness, except for Caleb and Joshua. So the Lord plagued the people because what they did with the calf which Aaron made. Then the Lord said to Moses, depart, go up from here, you and the people whom you've brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying to your descendants, I will give it. And I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Those are all the people north, south, east, and west who are living in the land. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey. I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. When the people heard this bad news, they mourned, and no one put his ornaments on. They're not putting that decoration, the gold and the silver that they got from the Egyptians in. They're not dressing up anymore. They're mourning. The Lord had said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, you're a stiff-necked people. I could come up into your midst in one moment and consume you. Now therefore, take off your ornaments that I may know what to do to you. So the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Horeb. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. God's not in their midst anymore after this rebellion. He's moved. He's outside. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he'd gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshiped, each man in his tent door. Right? So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. You know, Abraham was called friend of God. Well, God has a relationship with Moses. And he, Moses, would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Joshua and Caleb are two of them who actually go into the promised land. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you've said, I know you by name, and you've also found grace in my sight. Therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. Moses realizes he needs grace. He can't die for the people. He needs grace. And consider that this nation is your people. And God said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. He's talking to Moses. Then he said, if your presence, this is Moses, if your presence does not go up with us, do not bring us up from here. For how will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. Now, wait a minute. Can you see the glory of the Lord in its totality? What would happen? You'd die. John would say, no man has seen God at any time. I think in his totality, all right? You'd die. But Moses is asking to see God. So what does God do? He passes by, and what does Moses see? He sees a little bit of God's glory, but he doesn't see the complete thing because Moses would die. He says, you cannot see my face. Okay, wait a minute. He says, show me your glory. Then God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Paul quotes that, Romans 9:15. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here's a place by me, and you will stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock. On the side of Mount Horeb, there was a cave. Elijah wound up in that cave at one point. All right? And so he says, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. All right, so God does reveal himself to Moses. And the Lord said to Moses, cut two tablets of stone just like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. So be ready in the morning. Come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. No man shall come up with you, and let no man be seen throughout all the mountain. Let neither flocks nor herds feed from before that mountain. So he cut two tablets of stone like the first. Then Moses rose early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded, and he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. Third point, although we rebel, God is gracious. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him, Moses, there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. This is the name that the Lord proclaims of himself. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. This is repeated 12 times in the Old Testament. This is how God revealed himself to Moses. So what is there for us? Well, number one, God takes rebellion seriously. All right? Disobedience, the New Testament says, is just as bad as the sin of witchcraft. All right? God takes disobedience seriously. All right? And instead of looking at these people and say, well, if I was there, I wouldn't have done that. Well, there but for the grace of God go we. All right? Dr. Draper used to put it this way. Each of us is capable of anything, all right? We're no better than those murderers. Every night on the news, it's Cain killed Abel all over again, all right? We're no better than those people. There, but for the grace of God, go we. Okay, we need God's mercy. Those people need God's mercy. He said, so because God takes it seriously, we need to walk wisely and avoid rebellion. We need to repent, which means turn, all right? Repent, confess, which means to agree with God that this was a sin, all right? Not this, oh, well, you made me this way, and not that stuff, all right? Repent of your sin, and then we need to be thankful that the Lord is gracious and forgives, and he has provided the avenue of escape. And the law points to Jesus. The Passover points to the Passover lamb. It is the blood of Jesus that delivers us. And not only do we get delivered, we get the Holy Spirit indwelling us, which empowers us to do the thing that pleases him. Okay? So he doesn't just give us the want to, he gives us the how to. Okay? Let's close with a prayer. Father, help us. I think, Father, people who have a low view of sin really have a low view of you. And we talk about backsliding as an old-fashioned word. We talk about sin as an old-fashioned word. And the people who are editing the Oxford Dictionary for Children have taken the word sin out of the dictionary. They say that it doesn't have any meaning in the modern world. But all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if you don't intervene, our names are blotted out of the book of life and we have no hope. But Christ is raised from the dead and has become the first fruit of those who slept. And he is able to save to the uttermost all those who put their faith in him. Help us, Lord. Help us, because we are powerless to do the right thing. And except you intervene and send an intermediary, we fall in the wilderness like the idolaters. And Father, we help us to intercede for those that we know who are in such danger spiritually. Help us to intercede for them, not only in word, but also in deed. In Jesus' name, amen.